Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 21 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God and see what the Lord has for us this morning. So let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the morning, Lord, for this time. This day is a day that you have made, and we're here to rejoice in it. Bless the Word, Lord God. It is the power of salvation. It's the power to change men and women, to change children, Lord, to change circumstances and trials, Lord, to change life. And so, Lord, let not one word touch the ground. May it not fall on deaf ear, but may it pierce our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for the Word of God, the living Word of God. And may we be hearers of it, not just doers. So bless us, Lord, and we do give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Let me move this because I know I'll knock it down and break. This is funny because I took it off my wall, but you can see it's fading because the sun hits it, so it's fading. But this was given to me back of June of 1989. That's when I got ordained. I had no clue what it was all about. I didn't even want it, but God did it, and for such a time as this. But I don't like titles. It just shows God's favor and I want to do the work. I want to do the work of, if I'm called a pastor, I want to do the work of a pastor. Amen. If you're called a Christian, you want to do the work of a Christian. So praise God. All right, Acts chapter 21. Now remember last week we left off where Paul was in Miletus. And remember he called the elders, he called the leadership of the church from Ephesus. And he said, hurry up and come to him. Because Paul, when they came there, Paul told them that the day is coming when you're not going to see my face anymore. Because why? He was on his way to Jerusalem. And he knew that he was about to suffer. Because he said it, he was going to suffer chains. He was going to suffer tribulation. And even possible death. He knew it. But in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, listen. Paul said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. And I think that was his strength. His focus was on Christ. It wasn't on his circumstances, because you know, circumstances determines our walk with God. Sometimes it determines our faith in God and our being in his presence, and we can't allow that to happen. Even though he was told that he's going to suffer chains, he's going to suffer tribulation, he's going to suffer unto death, he said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, because my life is in Christ. So all that mattered to Paul was that he would finish his race with the Lord and he would finish with joy. Isn't that the way you want to go out? You want to go out of this world with joy in your heart? The joy of the Lord in your life? The joy in the Lord? I hope that when I take my last breath, I'm smiling. You know? You can't see my, because I don't have lips. Yeah, I don't even have a neck, but I want to smile. I want people to look at me and say, whoa, look at he's happy. I want that. What he has, I want that. But I don't want to wait till I die for them to say that. I want them to say it now. You want them to say it now. But Paul, again, he said he wanted to finish his race with joy. He wanted that his ministry would continue, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, will keep being preached. It will keep going on. And that's why I see Neil and Greg this morning when they start working together more within their ministries. Their joy and their race is that those ministries will continue. Like Neil said, he ain't retiring. I'm not going to retire. I mean, I would love to retire. I would love to be able to sleep in, be able to travel the world. But I will never retire in the Lord. Never until I take that last breath, and then I'm going to be in his presence. I'm not going to retire. I'll be here until, like he said, till you kick me out or you know, I'm assassinated, you know. I'm going to keep on, though. And so Paul told the elders, he says, now that you're not going to see my face anymore, I want to commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And it's for the purpose of what? Of building them up and sanctifying them before God. That was Paul's commandment to them. He said it in Acts chapter 20. He said this, listen, verse 28. He said, take heed to yourself and to the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit had made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You guys are purchased by the blood of Christ. That's why we have to be careful. You belong to Jesus. Your children, your grandchildren, they belong to Jesus. They're on loan to you. Your friends, your neighbors, everybody, even that person not walking with the Lord, belong to Jesus. They just don't know it. But they will know it. And so we have to take heed to it. And we got to be careful. We can't be saying, oh, no, get away from me, you know, you homeless, you know, you smell, whatever. We can't be like that. We got to do what Jesus took them in. And I've learned that early in the ministry back in the 80s. One time we were, and I have to share this testimony. One time we were in the North Park Rec Center. There's only 60 of us. And I was sitting there, and we used to bring in the stuff and take it out. We had this trailer we called the Ark. And I saw this homeless man come in, and he sat in the very back. And as he sat there, I noticed people were kind of moving. And so I looked, and I got up, and I walked over there, and he was crying. And I kneeled down. When I kneeled down next to him, I put my arm around him. The smell was horrendous. But God got me past that. And when I put my arm on him, I could feel the grime. I could feel the dirt on my arm. And I held him tight, and he was crying. And I prayed for him. I just prayed for him. I held him real tight, and I can feel it on there. And then he looked at me. He said, thank you. And he got up and left. And when I looked at my arm, I had like a tan. A second coat of skin, I don't know what it was. I had it on there, and the smell was on me, and I was just praising God. And I thought, Lord, never let our church ever get to the point where they start seeing people through their own eyes, but you would see people through God's eyes. Because that's how Paul was. You know, he didn't held back. He said, take heed to yourself and to the flock, which is the Holy Spirit has made you oversee and shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And he said, after my departure, the reason why he said, you better watch out because savage wolves are going to come in among you. They're not going to spare the flock. And men will rise up speaking perverse things. And they were going to draw away the disciples after themselves. Do we see that happening today? It's happening today. Paul said that he himself didn't hold back from proclaiming the gospel. But he taught repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was willing to tell them that they needed to feed and shepherd the body of Christ. And this was his commandment to the leadership of the church. And it's the same commandment to the leadership of the church today, to the pastors and to the elders. We are called to feed the flock. We're called to teach the word of God. Teach it line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word. Teach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Amen. Isn't that what the court's supposed to say? What happened? They got away from that. And why? Because many will pervert the gospel. Many will water down the word of God and teach what the people want to hear, not what the Spirit is saying. That's what's important, guys, is what the Spirit is saying, not man. In fact, Andy, he sent me a video back in, I think it was the 90s when this happened, when the Rodney Howard Brown, the Toronto blessing, remember that, when it started filtering into the church, slain in the spirit, holy laughter, acting like animals. He sent me this video that just, oh man, it just put the fear of the Lord in my heart. It scared me seeing the church praising God and men crawling on all fours with leashes, people walking them with leashes, and they're barking like dogs. They perverted the truth. That's not of God. You find that nowhere in the Bible. Paul says we need to feed and shepherd the body of Christ. That's the commandment. Teach the word of God, because many are going to come in, and they're not going to want to hear what the Spirit is saying. In fact, now listen, I know I'm going to get to 21. Listen to what the Lord said, okay, to the churches. Remember in Revelations, to the seven churches, right? Every one of you will fall under this. Every church will fall under this. Listen to what he says. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, to the church of Ephesus. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to read the end. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. That is the key. Hear what the Spirit says. Don't hear what I say. Hear what the Word of God says. I'm always going to mess up. I'm always going to throw something in there. But a lot of times, I'll ask people, you remember what I taught? Yeah, you told that joke. You'll remember the jokes. You'll remember the funny testimonies more than, I can't remember what verse you use, you know. I go through it too. But he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I'll give you to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To the church of Smyrna, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Not man. To the churches, he who overcomes should not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2:17, to the church of Pergamos. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, not man. To him who overcomes, I'll give some the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which is no one knows except him who receives it. Remember what my name's going to be, right? What is it? Theophilus. You can't have it. It's already taken. Theophilus. I'm praying, Lord, give me the name Theophilus, lover of God, because that's what I am. To the church of Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2, 26. He who overcomes and keeps my work until the end, I will give him the power over the nations, and I will give him the morning star. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, not man. Revelation 3, verse 5, the church of Sardis. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, not man. I'm throwing in the not man. That's not in there. I'm throwing that in. Not man, to the Spirit. Revelation 3:12, to the church of Philadelphia. But you got to take and listen, because you fall under these churches. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, not man. And then Revelation 3:21, to the church of Laodicea. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me and on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and not man. So who are you going to listen to? I saw a movie the other day, and this guy's, they're ready to drown, they're ready to die, and one guy, he knows the whole layout of this of the building. And this guy's saying, hey, do you know how to get out of here? Of course. Listen, we need to pop, 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 pop. And then another, one of the ladies with him said, no, no, you can't do that. You don't do that. You're going to kill us all. And he says, hey, who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to me who knows the layout? Are you going to listen to her? Well, that's what I want to share this morning. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to him who has the layout, the plan? It's right here. Or are you listening to the world? The point is, Paul commanded us, pastors and elders and leadership, to teach not what you want to hear, guys, but what the Spirit wants to say and what you need to hear. I'm not going to share what you want to hear. I'm going to share what the Spirit is showing me to teach and what you need to hear. Teach the whole truth of the Word of God. And that was actually the success of the early church. Remember Acts chapter 2 says they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayer, how the fear came upon every soul. Many wonders, signs were done through the apostles. And they who all believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions, their goods, and they divided among all who had need. But they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking the bread from house to house. And they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It was the Lord. It wasn't man. It wasn't the apostles. Like, the church today are looking to the man. I like what he says better than what he says. I can't listen to him. I can listen to him. Has nothing to do with man. It has to do with the Lord. The Lord's the one who added to the church. It doesn't say the apostles. He added to the church, not the leadership. It was the teaching of the Word of God. And the success of the church is the fact that we are still here, guys. Because why? We teach the Word of God. We ain't teaching philosophy of man's wisdom. Now look at verse 21. Oh, it's about time. Verse 1. It says, now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and we set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos, and the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara, and finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went abroad and we set sail. And when we had sighted Cyprus, we passed on to the left and sailed to Syria. And we landed in Tyre. And from there, the ship was to unload her cargo. So here we have Paul, we have Luke, and those who were with them. Their journey, they're leaving from Miletus, and now they're in the city of Tyre. Now, I like to look at the map. You can always look it up yourself. But when I read all these cities, you can go on your maps and you can see exactly where they are. So what Paul is doing is he's heading down to Jerusalem. And so you have Kos. It's kind of like this visible map. Here's Kos, right? Because that's the first one. Then he comes down to Rhodes is here. And then Patara is here. And then Phoenicia is over here. And Cyprus is between Israel and modern-day Turkey over here, I believe, this area. It's like an island here. And that's where he's in Tyre, right here. He's heading to Jerusalem. That's the bottom line. So he's making his way around there in the Mediterranean Sea. And so, but Luke says that they are passing through these different areas. And just like us, guys, when we go to different areas outside of the U.S. or even within the United States, like Paul, we always have these great times of fellowship and great times of devotion with the Lord and with each other. And that's what they had. But here, Paul, along with those who are with them, they are witnessing along the way. This is what I love about it. He's going through all these little cities, all these areas, and he's witnessing along the way. He's sharing with everyone who's willing to listen to the gospel message. And they're making their way down to Jerusalem. So look at the first place they came to was what? It's Kos. I'm going to give you a little background of them real fast. Kos. Now listen, back in that day, Kos was a commercial and trading island for many major shipping routes. City here was known as a medical center for a major medical school. It had a temple there. They set up temples to false gods, and they had the temples there that were set up for the Greek god of medicine. Did you know that there was a god for Greek god of medicine? We have the great physician, but I'm not even going to try to. Well, I'll try to pronounce its name. It's Aesculapius, the Greek god of medicine. It was also the birthplace of Hippocrates. He was a great physician, and Apelles. He was a great Greek painter. So that's Kos. And from Kos, he went down to Rhodes. That was known as the Island of Roses. Isn't that cool? Go to the Island of Roses, right? But it was located in the very entrance of the Aegean Sea. And that's the Mediterranean. And then you go into the Aegea, and it was right there. So it was a very important major shipping center. The city was also known as a major university, which they specialized in speech and orating, which, hey, you should go to that school, you know, right there. And then there was Patara. They were located at the mouth of the Xanthus River. And again, that was a city that was an important commercial city for the towns there in that area. They were also a major shipping route for those that were coming in from the Mediterranean Sea. So it was a very prosperous and important city. And then we got Cyprus. And Cyprus, Paul went there on his first, second missions trip there and led many to the Lord. And then Tyre, here, where they're at. That was one of the most famous seaports of that time. The city had two major sections. One section was built on the mainland. Another section was built on an island with an inlet. So you had Tyre right here, and then they had this island right here that was part of Tyre. And that portion, it was used to provide shelter for ships during storms during the winter month. They would go there, and that's where they would park their ships there when the storms were real strong. It was a free city. It was mentioned in the Old Testament scriptures. It's mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 9, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, because of David and Solomon. They enter an alliance with its rulers, the kings there of this area. It was mentioned in Isaiah chapter 23. It was a commercial center for shipping of metals, glass, and dye works. It was mentioned in Isaiah 23, Jeremiah 27, Ezekiel 27, Ezekiel 28, Amos 1, Joel chapter 3, Zechariah chapter 9, because it was denounced by the prophets of old because of its worldliness and its materialism. And Jesus visited this region. He visited the border of Tyre, but he never entered the city, and that's in Mark chapter 7. And here we have Paul spending 7 days with the church there in Tyre in this verse. Look at verse 4. It says, "In finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and they told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem." So as the ship came to Tyre, it parked there, and it was unloading its cargo. And then while it was unloading, what did Paul do? He went out and he was looking for fellowship. I love this. He's looking for other believers, guys. During this little break, during this time where the ship has to unload, Paul was desiring fellowship. You know the Greek meaning for the word finding here in this verse? It means that he was diligently searching for other believers. I love this because he had some downtime here. Hey, guys, we're going to be here 7 days. Let's go visit the sites. Let's go eat. Let's relax and let's just kick back. No, he didn't take a break from the Lord's work. He saw an opportunity to reach out, not an opportunity to have a vacation. He saw those opportunities of being about the Lord's business because it wasn't Paul's plan to take a break here. He wanted to get down to Jerusalem. It happened. It was an unexpected downtime to unload the ship. And Paul said, hey, while we're here, I want to be with the brothers. I desire fellowship. And that's why I'm always saying, guys, when you have that downtime or when you're on vacation, look for the opportunities from the Lord to witness and to fellowship. I do. Every time we go somewhere, I'm always looking for opportunities to share the word of God, to speak and represent the Lord. So you might take a vacation from the work, but you never take a vacation from the Lord. You never retire in the Lord. We have to be ready, what? In season and out of season. Ready to give an answer of the hope and the calling that is within you. Paul didn't see a time where he's going to relax and I'm just going to kick back. Guys, go do what you want. He said, wow, we're going to be here. I want to find some fellowship. I want to find some other believers. I want to worship the Lord. I want to find the church here. And that's what he did. He didn't take a vacation. You got to have that mindset that you're not taking a break from the Lord. And you got to say, Lord, I want to be about your business. Whenever I go out there, I want to be about your business, Lord. I don't want to. I just don't want to go on vacation because, you know, I found out that the times when I have this downtime I take a vacation from the church or from God, things don't work out. They never work out. In fact, we always get into a little scuffle or a little argument, a little fight, and then probably like you, you say, I shouldn't came. I shouldn't, why did I waste my time? I should have stayed at the church. When I'm out there, God used me. God always uses you wherever you are. The highest calling is where? Wherever you are. That's the highest calling. Don't take a vacation from the Lord. Stay and be open because God loves availability. Be open to the Lord's work. Make yourself available for Him. And you know what? God will honor that. And you're going to be blessed. And you'll minister to others. And you'll be ministered to. Look at verse 4. He says he went and he found disciples. And he stayed there 7 days. And they told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. I want to point out three highlights of the church here entire. Three highlights which I think we as a church can relate. And that I want to see within this church. And I do see it. One thing about this church in Tyre, it was a small church. Because we read that it was a small church. Because Paul and his companions, he had to search for the church. He said, come on, I want to go out and I want to look and find some. He had to find the disciples. So apparently it took a while before he found the believers. But when he did find them, guess what? They were a Spirit-filled church. Because the Spirit spoke to them. And he spoke to them and they warned Paul immediately about the trials that he was going to face here in verse 4. And it had to be the Spirit to enable them to do that. The Spirit enabled them to what? To see into the future, to predict, and to prophesy about Paul's future. So be encouraged, guys, about our fellowship. We are small as well, right? But we are also led by the Holy Spirit. And we are open to allowing the Holy Spirit to use us and to help others in the midst of their trials as well as in their circumstances, even in their blessings. Though we are few, yet we are strong when He surrounds us, right? That's what we are. Don't forget that. Romans chapter 15, look what Paul said. And this is why he was always looking out, looking for believers and looking to share the word of God. He says, when them who are strong, you ought to bear with the scruples or with the differences or the weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of you please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Even for Christ, he did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I love what Paul says here. The things that are written were written before, they're written for our learning. That's what the Bible is. It's for your learning. It's the schoolmaster. It's the teacher. This was all written for you. For you, specifically, personally, you. You can say, this was written for me, not you, for me. That's a personal relationship. It's for our learning. And the believers from the church of Tyre, they believed that the Holy Spirit was warning Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But apparently, Paul, he didn't accept it like that. He accepted more like, well, okay, information or something that he would consider or take to heart. That maybe he was thinking, maybe the Spirit here speaking through the believers here from this church was preparing him for what was in store for him to come. Maybe probably because of Acts chapter 20, verse 23, Paul said this, the Holy Spirit testified in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me. Doesn't say that the Holy Spirit testified in every city that you are not to go. In every city, Paul said the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, saying that you're going to go, and guess what? Chains and tribulation await you. When you get there, guess what? You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have persecution. You're going to be chained up. So the Spirit was telling him that he would have hardship. But Paul, again, remember, Paul's heart was for the Jews, right? Romans chapter 9, verse 3 and 4, he said, if I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my countrymen according to the flesh. Do you have a heart to say that? Lord, I'm willing to give up my salvation, give up, be accursed from you so that this person can get saved. Think about it. That is a passion for the lost. I don't know about you. Sometimes what's going on in this world, the shootings that are going around, sometimes I get this weird thought, this crazy imagination. I said, Lord, if I'm in this store or this restaurant or something, somebody came in with guns and they said, okay, everybody's going to die unless somebody dies for everybody. Lord, I'm going to stand up and I say, okay, go ahead. I'm saved. I know where I'm going. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Take me. Will I be able to do that? I can say with words, but when the time comes, will I have that passion like Paul in my heart to honestly say, I don't even know that person, and they're drinking, they're drunk, they're cussing, and they're even giving me dirty looks, and this guy here who's looking at my wife and checking her out, and all these things. Am I going to be able to say, hey, no, you guys go ahead, sit down, enjoy, continue what you're doing. I'll die for you. That was Paul's heart. He said, make myself a curse from Christ, that my brethren may be saved. And then he said in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they may be saved. That was his heart and his desire and his prayer, that his fellow Jews would be saved. And then in Acts chapter 9, again, remember when he got saved. And it says in verse 15, it says, but the Lord, when he told Ananias, hey, go to Paul, and he's over there in I think it was Tarsus. He's over there. Right now he's blind. I have him where I can use him, and I need him. I want you to go over there, and I want you to lay hands on him, and I want you to pray that he will receive his sight. And he said, oh, no, Lord, no. I know. I heard about this man, Saul. He's a killer. In fact, he was coming over here to kill me. And you want me to what? And then this is what the Lord said. He said, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before who? The Gentiles. Check, because this is what Paul was doing in Acts. His missionary trips, he was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Check. Two kings. Come in. In fact, he was killed by a king. And to the children of Israel, soon. He's heading down to Jerusalem. For I will show him many things that he must suffer for my name's sake. I love the fact, right there it is. God has given him, you know, sometimes you say, Lord, can you just post on my door what you want me to do today? I would love that. You know, would you wake up in the morning and there it is, and a push pin, pull it out. Okay, the Lord says at this time I'm going to do this, boom, 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 boom. Okay, I got my orders. These were Paul's orders right here, guys. The Lord said, first, you're going to go to the Gentiles. Paul went to the Gentiles. Second, you're going to go before kings. He's on his way. And then third, you're going to go to the children of Israel. Well, that's coming. And that's where things are going to happen. And so I see Paul here when these believers came and said, hey, but through the Spirit, they said, don't go. I see Paul, he can you know, be, I don't want to say confused, but vexed between the two, because, hey, do I listen to the Spirit-filled church, these Spirit-filled believers, or do I listen to my own sense of duty, to my calling? What God told me here in Acts chapter 9, I'm going to go before the Gentiles, I'm going to go before the kings, and I'm going to go before the Jews. You know, I can relate to this. Honestly, I can say I can relate to this. Because I always have others who tell me, this is what the Lord said. The Lord told me to tell you this, that you should do this, or that you should not do this. But you know what? I have to listen to God. I have to listen to God. I have to do what God shows me to do. And when someone comes to me and says, thus saith the Lord, or the Lord told me to tell you this, sometimes I reply with, you know what? I will seek the Lord and he can tell me himself. Amen. I got that amen there, sister. That was an amen. Yeah. So I know that the Lord can tell me. I know it. Okay. Verse 4, look at verse 4. I'm going to end it right now. Okay. Then it says there in verse 4 that the disciples, they came, they told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. So the church felt strongly that they heard from God. But Paul felt just as strong also that he had this heart that he's going to go there. You're telling me not to go, but I have a strong feeling too that God wants me there. So it makes you wonder who was right, who was wrong, who was really hearing from the Lord. I think only God knows. I got to leave it in God's hands, you know, because I think that's the best place. But both the church and both Paul had to trust in the Lord, just like we do, guys. We have to trust in the Lord. And you got to listen to the Lord. You got to listen to his word. You got to get in it. And you got to allow the Spirit to teach you the word of God. Not man, the Spirit. Read the Word of God. We're going to end here because I went over and I'm in trouble. But I got to do what God called me to do, not what... Just kidding. Let's pray. We'll pick up next week. Father God, we do thank you this morning. Lord, I thank you that you tell us in the Word that we don't need any man to teach us, that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Your Word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light unto our path. And you said you would teach us all things, not some things, all things. And we want to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I love Paul, the fact that he's traveling now to Jerusalem. And along the way, his heart is, he's about the Father's business. He's not on a cruise ship. He's not on a vacation. He's going to find disciples. He's going to find brothers. He's going to find the church, and he's going to work. He's going to fellowship and worship, and he's going to preach the gospel. May our heart be like Paul. May we have a heart for a hunger and the thirst for righteousness and for your word and for a passion for the lost. Bless us this morning, Father God. Bless us and be with us. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. And I pray that you encourage them and you bless them and you lead them in that path, that straight and narrow path, Lord. May we not get off the broad and wide. Bless us, Lord. Bless us. Bless the movie tonight. Bless our fellowship. And we give you glory and honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Mm-hmm.